plane in the Hudson River. But unfortunately, life doesn't always have happy endings, does it? No. And even at Christmas time, in fact, often at Christmas time or other holidays, those unhappy endings, those unhappy circumstances just get more prominent in our world, don't they? As us iPhone users would like to think, isn't there an app for that? And you know, it's interesting, there is kind of an app, at least they've tried. I saw this one, I thought, I'm going to look and see. There's one called Tranquility. Here's what the app makers say about it. Listen to the peaceful, high-quality sounds of Tranquility and feel your stress begin to melt away. Use Tranquility to help you drift off to sleep at night or just to capture a few quiet moments in the midst of a hectic day. Tranquility calms the nerves, delights the senses, and helps soothe the savage beast that is our modern lives. Don't you wish finding some peace in your world, peace on earth, especially when we're facing unhappy endings, were that simple? One lady said that her therapist told her that the way to achieve true inner peace was to start finishing what she started. So she said, well, today I finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake and I feel better already. Well, maybe that's one way to get a little temporary peace. I'm not sure it's terribly long lasting. In fact, I'm pretty confident that most people, at least many people, don't have peace. So they spend a lot of time and money and emotional effort trying to either dull the pain of that or cover it up, right? Well, I have some good news for you again in this third in our series of pre-Christmas messages called The Gift. There's a better way and a better place to find peace. And we're going to see that by, again, looking at that first Christmas that God also sent in Jesus, the gift of peace. The angels announced it in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The question is that kind of peace still available today? Well, it is, and I want us in the next few minutes to see what God has to say about it and how we can embrace that peace in everyday life. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you sent your Son to bring peace on earth. And I pray that again, tonight you would meet us wherever we are on our journey, whatever emotion we're bringing to this Christmas season, that you would meet us and that you would help us to understand where true peace is found and that we would find it in you. And I pray that my words will really be your words tonight. And we'll thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when did you get the phone call or have the interview or hear the news that rocked your world? Was it when your boss called you in and said your job is over? Or was it when the doctor told you the results of a recent MRI? Or was it when the police called and said, we have your son in lockup? Maybe it was your spouse telling you that the marriage is over or that they'd had an affair. Or maybe it was finding out that your child has a chronic disease or even terminal illness. Or maybe it was when your sister called and said, Dad. We could probably paint 100 more scenarios. Many of them are different, but you're maybe thinking of one of those in your world right now. Or maybe you say, I don't have any of those big tragedies, at least not prominent in my world right now. But maybe you have this restlessness in you that's messing with your peace. It's something inside of you that says, there's more to life than this. There's more than just this rat race that I face every day. That can mess with our peace, can't it? There must be more than just going faster and faster to get more and more that does less and less to fulfill us. You see, when you and I are searching for peace, either in a tragedy or just facing the grind of life, I think we're looking for this calm, this peace. It's something within us that says there's something out there, there's someone out there that knows all about this, who's in charge, and there's something for me to live for in spite of my circumstances. We long for that. And if you were here last weekend when I talked about the gift of hope, you might be thinking, you know, it sounds like these two might be related, and you'd be right. They are. Because you see, we can only have peace about life and about all the hard stuff we face if we have this hope that, no, we're not alone, that God is still in charge, and yes, there's something beyond this world that we can truly hope for. If you weren't here last weekend, I want to encourage you to go back on iTunes or on our website and listen to that. It will bring these two together. In fact, let me kind of do that in a quick sentence. Hope, I think, is the reality of what is true. Peace is the ongoing result that we get when we understand that reality. But in your notes, and you can follow along if you like, they should be in the seat back in front of you if you like to do that. Let me talk a little bit about what peace from God isn't. We got to start there. Peace from God, what I want to talk about tonight, what I believe God gave us in Jesus, isn't, first of all, the absence of hardship. No, God never promised us that if we'd follow Christ, we won't struggle. A lot of people would like to suggest that. But think about Psalm 23, which a lot of us at least know. Maybe we could quote the whole thing. It says, yea, or even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say I don't have any valleys. It says, no, we walk through them with God. Or secondly, peace doesn't mean we'll never be sad or discouraged or even angry. We're human. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to be really disappointed, even irritated about things that are right to be irritated about. And one more, there are others. Peace doesn't mean that we pretend that everything is fine. I think people often in the church, Christ followers, do this one. They think, you know, I at least got to look good when I'm with other people. I don't want to ever admit that my life isn't very peaceful right now. Or if I'm going to come to God, I really need to kind of have my act together and then I'll come to God. No, peace isn't about any of those things at all. So let me talk a little bit about how do we grasp, how do we get a hold of this kind of peace that Jesus came that first Christmas to give us. Well, first of all, if we're going to have genuine, long-lasting, meaningful peace, we have to have peace with God. We'll start there. We have to have peace with God. Now, I know a lot of people in this room probably understand this one, but let me raise it a notch, review it for you, or if some of you say, no, I don't think I do know about this one, then this will be just for you. A lot of people think this about God. You know, what's this big deal about needing peace with God anyways? If he's just a loving God, why doesn't he just kind of overlook that? You know, if he's loving, what's the big deal with punishment and penalties and all that kind of thing? Well, I've used this illustration in a few other settings, but let me use it here. What if we went down to the Travis County or Williamson County courthouse and we found a judge? And we said, hey, judge, are you a nice person? And they might say, well, yeah, I'm not perfect, but, well, are you loving? Do you love people? Well, yeah, I wouldn't be in this job if I didn't care about people. And so we said, well, great, you're loving and you're nice and you're seeming to be a kind person. Could you just let everyone on your docket next week then just go free? And I have a feeling they would chuckle and say, no, I can't do that. We say, well, why? Aren't you kind and nice and loving? They say, yeah, but see, there's this other part that we have to deal with called justice. There are rules, and when rules are broken, there's a penalty to be paid for. And I can't just let everybody go. But do you know, people do the same thing with God. And God would have the similar answer. He would say, yes, I'm loving. I love more than anybody could know. But you see, there's this other side of the coin that's honest and fair and justice, and that has to be paid for. So what did Jesus come to do? He came to be the penalty for us. In other words, we don't have to pay the penalty, but someone did. And it was this Jesus who was born in a manger who came to die in our place. That's how we get peace with God. Listen to Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not through doing good stuff, not through going to church enough, not at being enough Christmas Eve services, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you and I choose, as we often say here, to cross the line with Christ, to invite him into our lives, then he forgives us. The debt is paid for because of what he did the first Easter, died on the cross and rose again. We get peace with God. The debt gets paid. That's where we get peace initially. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our, say it with me, peace. Yeah, that's where it starts. We can become his child, and as the song said a little bit ago, He knows our name because we're one of his. Years ago, there was a big Vietnam veterans parade in Chicago. Used to live a couple hours from there. And they brought in this mobile version of the Vietnam Wall that's in Washington so people could see it. And the TV reporters went out there and they were interviewing veterans. And they went up to this one veteran and say, why did you come? He'd traveled quite a distance. Why did you come all the way to Chicago to see this wall? And with tears coming down his cheeks, he said, here's why I came. And he reaches up to the wall and he says, because of this man right here. And he's weeping and he's just kind of tracing the man's name on the wall with his finger. And he goes on to say this story. He said, this man right here gave his life for me. He apparently died to save that guy. And as the news clip ends, this guy, still with tears still coming down his cheeks, is just tracing the name of this man on the wall. You see, here at ACF, that's what we want to do all the time. We keep tracing the name of Jesus and saying, he died for you and for me. And now he lives as proof that, yes, he could overcome even something as tough as death. That's how we get peace with God. And on your little tear-off thing in your program later, you can put that one of our bowls or in the boxes. You can put on there, I'd like to know more about that. We would love to tell you how to get peace with God. But once you have peace with God, then you can enjoy peace from God. That's the second part. As I alluded to earlier, I would guess all across this room, there are people, we all have stuff, we all have issues. As I said last week, we all have times when our picture of life got broken. And so we don't have peace because of a job loss and marriages that are hurting, kids who are messed up, and the list could go on and on. And you would be right to say, Gary, please don't tell me that I ought to just feel better about all this because you don't know how bad things are for me right now. And you would be right. I don't know how you feel. I can't possibly know how you feel, nor can anyone else. Only you can. And two, having peace, as I said earlier, isn't necessarily about feeling better. Listen to what Jesus said. He's the expert. John 16, 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But notice this. In this world you will have what? Say it with me. Trouble. He said, no, that's coming. But take heart. I have overcome the world. In the middle of your trouble is where I will give you peace, he says. Or John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus doesn't give cheap peace. Jesus doesn't just throw out a bunch of platitudes and say, suck it up, get over it. No, he's with us in the middle of the worst. Let me suggest what peace might be. And this is not an inspired definition. I hope it just pulls together some thoughts from the scripture. Peace from God is an inward, deep sense of calm that in spite of our hardships and pain, whatever you're facing tonight, we are first still right with God. Once we cross the line, that never changes. You can't get kicked out of God's family. And second, God will take our struggles somehow and turn them into good. That's what goes on inside of us if we have real peace. So let me give some practical steps of, well, how do you grab onto that? Here we go. First of all, pray and be honest with God. Just start there. Be honest. Don't fake it. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, I talk to people a lot and have for a lot of years. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to going through the big stuff they're facing. And they have legitimate hurts and struggles and all of that. But I can't tell you how many of those people, when I suggest, are you praying about this, who don't. They just don't pray. Or it's not a regular thing. Or they pray kind of the foxhole prayer, you know. Well, Lord, just get me out of this. Whatever it is, just end it, will you please? There's more to it than that. Sometimes we don't have peace because we simply haven't prayed. I mean, if God is God, then prayer ought to make a difference. It doesn't mean it's a blank check where we just, you know, say, okay, God, I'll fill it in, I get what I want. No, that's not it. But God does respond to our praying. If we're his child, then he's a father and he isn't going to let us go. He will be there for us. But pray. But there's a second part to that prayer, and it's be thankful. So often our lack of peace, I think, gets enhanced even more because we just forget to be thankful for what we do have, even in the middle of the worst. Listen to Colossians 3. We actually read some verses earlier from just before this verse. It continues on and says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Sometimes we don't have peace because we think we've got to have just a little bit more. Maybe peace, we would have at least a little more peace if we just said, Lord, I got to thank you. At least I have this right now. I mean, I do this. Have you done this? Where when things are rough, you compare yourself with the people who have more than you right then, not the people who have less. It'd be like, oh man, here we go again. My car broke down and it's going to cost hundreds of dollars. If I just didn't have this piece of junk, if I only had something like John has, I wouldn't be going through this. God says, you know what? You want to have a little more peace? At least stop and be thankful for how he has blessed you. That's why we love and encourage people to serve here. Because we know that one of the things it will do is it will help you be reminded, and me too, that I've got so much compared to the people across town or next door or in Nicaragua or Russia or wherever. I know that most of us have the ability to give our families a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that. God has blessed us. He's told us that he would give us a lot of things to enjoy, Galatians chapter 6. But I want to caution us here. Even in your family, teach your kids, teach one another about being thankful. You know, don't just give them everything. I mean, even this Christmas, think about how much could we give away as well as keep, so that we'll just learn how to be thankful. I knew this big-time businessman in the Detroit area. I taught his daughter in school, and we were at his house for a function or something. It was a gorgeous home and all that, and we were over there, and they were, you know, just treating us and being really nice. But his daughter came in, and she said, Dad, I mean, he's right in the middle of the party. She said, Dad, the battery in my car doesn't work. And I'm thinking, go buy her another car. You know, I knew he could easily do that and he wouldn't miss the car or the expense. Well, then I thought, well, he's probably not going to buy her a car, but he'll at least buy her a new battery. And you know what he said? He said, well, honey, let's go out there and let's see if we can't jump that battery. I thought, wow, for a guy who could, you know, buy a car in a heartbeat, he's going to help her jumpstart the battery? But I knew this guy well enough to know that he wanted to teach her, let's appreciate what we have. No, we're not going to just get everything. But number three, remind yourself of God's peace and power every day. Paul prayed for one of the churches, a church called Thessalonica. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. See, his peace is available to us, but we so often, again, don't think about that. We don't say, come on, Lord. In fact, let me suggest this. Whatever you're going through, as hard as it is, and it does, again, you can hurt, you can grieve, you can struggle. That's normal. But at some point, you're probably going to need to say, Lord, I'm just giving it up to you. I'm just giving this to you. It is not going to paralyze me. It is not going to run my life. It is not going to own me anymore. Give it to God. Admit that you don't understand it all. You may not get it all, that you don't need to win the argument, that you don't need to be right because your worth is in Christ. I mean, whatever it is, say, Lord, I just want to have some peace in the middle of this situation. And God will honor that if we'll just say, I know it's available. I know it's there. I have to take advantage of it. If you start living that way, then you could handle something even as major as this. In 1873, some of you will know this story. There was a man named Horatio Spafford. No, that's not the guy on CSI Miami. 1873, a different Horatio. He sent his wife and children on a boat from New York to France, four girls and his wife. And he had to stay in the U.S. for a few more days, and then he was going to meet them. Well, on November 21st of that year, they're in this calm waters of the Atlantic. Everything was just terrific. And all of a sudden, there was this major explosion, this horrible sound. And people started running out of their rooms and screaming, and it was just pandemonium. And what had happened was their ship had been hit by another English ship out there in the middle of the Atlantic. Well, Mrs. Spafford, the wife, immediately saw these three of the girls were just swept away. I mean, there was no time to even think about it. She grabbed onto the fourth one, held the littlest one as long as she could, and then she slipped her grasp and she was gone. She lost consciousness and fortunately was rescued by some of the sailors on the British ship that had hit them. Well, her husband, in the meantime, was in the States and trying to find out what had happened. And he got the news and heard the worst, that his wife was okay, but he lost four daughters just like that. So you can imagine, he walked all night. I just walked the floor in this anguish, despair. But on the way across the Atlantic on another ship, the captain said, "This is approximately the place where the other ship went down." And he went to his cabin out there in the middle of the ocean. And he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." We do that song here pretty regularly. His words are still encouraging people today. No, that the words don't say, "Yeah, everything's fine now." It just says, "When I live in God, in his peace, then my soul can remain intact. I know that God is in control, even when I'm not." You ever been on an airplane flying kind of at dusk, and you see that beautiful sunset out one window of the plane? But usually if you look out the other window, what's on the other side? It's dark. So you've got these contrasting things. You've got darkness and kind of these shadows and whatever on one side where you can't see. On the other side, you've got this wonderful light still kicking up, and it's beautiful to watch. You see, I think life's like that a lot, particularly with God. That, yeah, there are going to be the shadows on one side. There's going to be light on the other. But that plane is still going to Austin or Indianapolis or Chicago or Los Angeles. And we have to say, all right, I'm going to remember that, yes, there's light on one side. Yes, there's dark on the other. I'm going to trust that God will take care of the dark and he will help me live according to the light. See, when we live in peace, we may be sad, but we're not in despair. We may be concerned, but we're not in a panic. We may be irritated even at times, but we're not in a rage. I love this. If you're going to underline any verses in your Bible, make a note of these. 2 Corinthians 4:8 and a couple of verses following. "We are hard-pressed on every side." Here's the airplane illustration. "But not crushed. Perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." You see how it works? That when you have peace with God and you have peace from God, then you live in that tension, but it doesn't wipe you out. That's pretty powerful. My hunch is if more people in the world knew that, mental health clinics would close down. We wouldn't need any counselors. And the church would be a whole lot healthier. Peace with God, peace from God. Well, one more thing. When we have this gift of peace, we can have peace with others. That's the ultimate culmination. Romans 12 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." See, a lot of our peace problems involve relationships, don't they? But here's the deal. If God gives us inner peace, then we can pursue peace with other people, even those with whom we struggle. Sometimes that means even relationships can be restored. Not all of them. We can reconcile with others if we'll start the peace process. Now, I'm not suggesting that we be abused or we get, you know, beat up by people or any of that. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But sometimes we can make peace if we'll start the process. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." Is there a lack of peace in your marriage? Then start being peaceful yourself if you're not. Is there a lack of peace in your home and among your children? Start by modeling a confident peace. Talk about what you'll do together so that you all contribute to peace in your homes. I mean, sometimes the lack of peace is even about us. I did this. We had just moved into a new home, in Illinois. And I was real excited. First new home I've ever had, only new home I've ever had. And I didn't notice I was doing this, but my wife finally came up to me one day and she said, "Gary, do you know that for the last 3-4 days, whatever it was, all you've said is no to your son?" And I went, "What?" She said, "All you do is say no." And I started thinking about it, and yeah, she was right. I'd say things like, "No, you can't put that in there. No, don't get that too close to the wall. No, don't go there." You know, I was so worried about everything staying perfect and having this new house that I was driving everybody crazy. And I was wrong. I was the peace problem. And you might be too. See, we can teach one another. We can help one another be responsible to bring God's peace into our home. If relationships are strained, then reach out. Take some time to restore them. Be the initiator. I'm not suggesting glossing over problems. You'll need to deal with those in grace and love if there are problems. And if situations are dangerous and abusive, then you've got to take more extreme measures. But you can still do that without vengeance. Do you remember the Challenger disaster? Wow, most of us do. You can probably remember where you were when that happened. For a long time, they didn't know all of what was said, and there was a transcript released a while after it happened that told what some of what was going on in that cockpit was like. And they didn't get a lot, but they finally decided that the crew did know a little more, sadly, what was happening. There was some panic there that you can imagine what the panic was like when they knew they were in trouble. But in the final, at least unofficial communication to Houston, they said that one of the last phrases that any astronaut said, at least that they heard, was, get this, "Give me your hand. Give me your hand." Whew. In the last tragic moments, they needed somebody. They just said, "Let's be together on this." See, if we're embracing and enjoying God's hand, then we will be gutsy enough to reach out to those close to us and even some not so close to us and simply say, "In the middle of this disaster, give me your hand. Give me your hand. Let's be together on this." On that first Christmas, God gave us many gifts, and we've just looked at three this year: the gift of giving, the gift of hope, and today, the gift of peace. Peace with God and peace from God and peace with others. On your seat there somewhere, you got a feather. We've given you something every week to take home with you and think about. Our peace, as hard as it is sometimes to get, will descend on you sometimes like the lightness of a feather. And we need to pass it on, give our hand to somebody and say, "Here, I want to bring peace to this situation too." Isaiah 9:6, "And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That was a prediction hundreds of years before Christ ever came, that he was going to come and this is who he was going to be, the Prince of Peace. So enjoy all these gifts this year. And if you've never met the Jesus who came to bring that peace within you first, wouldn't it be cool if you met Jesus, if you crossed the line Christmas of 2009, and you said, "I finally got the source of peace in my life"? And if you're a Christ follower already, then would you embrace the gifts of giving and hope and peace like never before? I pray this Christmas will literally be life-changing in some way for every one of us. Because there's a little benediction that Paul gives in Romans chapter 15 that beautifully sums up where we've been the last few weeks. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's overflow. We can. Giving, hope, and peace are ours to enjoy and bubble up in us. And it will impact our homes, our marriages, our communities, our country, and our world. You know the words to Silent Night. We're going to sing this on Christmas Eve. We won't sing it tonight, but let me just give you the first verse. "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace."
peace. Let me pray. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you are the source of our peace. I thank you that Jesus came to live, to grow, to model life, but then to die, to rise again so that we might have hope, that we might have peace, and that we might give to others. So I pray that in our lives, even in these last moments, you would send us a sign, whisper within us, Lord, your peace, fill us with life. May we listen and hear you. Break the quiet of our struggle. Breathe your awakening into us. Bring us light. Because some of us here are kind of fading, Lord. Shine your light so that we can see you this Christmas. Pull us up. We need to be near you. Hold us. We need to feel your love and overcome our heart that's been overcome. We love you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.